we're going to be getting into everything else here. With the new Miss Delaware, Miss Hocus and Hillary May. Congratulations, she's in studio. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Have you recovered from the weekend?
You know, we're trying. We're slowly but surely getting a little more sleep every night.
Can you believe it still?
I really can't. Every morning I wake up and it hits me again. And it's been so exciting being able to go out and talk, doing an interview like this. This already has been super exciting.
And you're really in the running for national.
Yes, I am. We'll be going to Miss America. When and where, they haven't announced yet, but we're ready.
I mean, how
whenever.
Does that work? I mean, what do you do next now?
Yeah, so what I will do and what all the other state title holders will do, we'll congregate in, typically it's in Atlantic City, but we aren't entirely sure where it's going to be yet, for between 10 and 14 days doing different appearances. And then we'll have the competition, which is the same as the state competition, but just on a much larger scale with 51 girls instead of the 12 in Miss Delaware.
How long ago did you know that you might be competing for Miss Hocus and then Miss Delaware? Right? Would it just spur of the moment, or you always had that longing as a little girl?
Yeah, so I remember the first Miss Indiana get crowned Miss America in 2008, and I saw her picture all over the mall, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting, that you know, woman, but I never imagined that that could be me, that I could be on that path. And my roommate here does the Miss USA system, and she was like, it's so much fun, you get to be on stage again. And what drew me to the America organization is the talent. I've been a singer for my entire life,
right, in New York even.
Yes, so being able to do that and showcase that was great, and so the America system was the fit for me.
Okay, well, you know, there are a lot of transplanted Delawareans who did not go to school in Delaware, were not born in Delaware. Even asked some of our politicians, like Joe Biden. Little message there. He wasn't born in Delaware. Mm-hmm. But how is it you made it from Hoosier country to the first state?
I was looking around at different PhD programs, and there's a professor at the University of Delaware. Her name's Roberta Golenkoff, who is not only a big name in the sort of area that we're studying, but she follows the same philosophy that I think is really important, which is there's no point in doing research if people aren't going to benefit from it. And so she's very big in writing editorials. She'll write for the New York Times every once in a while. Yeah. And she really tries to get what we're doing out to the public.
So when you were at Butler in Indianapolis, you had heard about the U of D for your area?
Yes. My undergraduate advisor, research advisor, is good friends with Dr. Golenkoff. And so I was very familiar with her work from the time I was working at Butler.
But you're a Southern Hoosier. You grew up in Evansville?
Yes, I did. So every once in a while, the Southern accent will come out, but we do a pretty good job of keeping it under wraps most of the time.
Well, you spent a lot of time, though, living in Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
So you are so new that maybe you still have a good idea of your first impressions, driving from the Midwest, crossing the mountains, and then here to the coastal east. What do you think? How does it feel?
I absolutely love Delaware. I had no idea what to expect when I arrived, and it exceeded anything I could have possibly imagined. I've noticed so many similarities, and honestly, really only one difference, which is that over here, a U-turn is a direction and not a mistake. In Indiana, that's never a direction you'll get on your GPS. It's only, hey, you missed your turn, you need to turn around. Whereas if I put something in my GPS over here, a U-turn is actually a direction you're supposed to follow.
Yeah, hadn't thought of that. One thing that strikes some newcomers, Delawareans want to add "thes" to words, like the Kirkwood Highway.
Yeah. The only thing I ever hear of, because, you know, Hoosier State, I use big fans, so big rivals, is Ohio State, and they do the Ohio State and the Pennsylvania State.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah. So do you say pop instead of soda?
So I'm actually a very weird person, and I say soft drink, which I think is an even smaller population of people.
I hear you. So anyway, those are your first impressions, but your first time on the beach was literally this weekend?
Yes, it was. Well, the Delaware beach, yeah, it was beautiful, beautiful. I didn't know what to expect being up here in Delaware because I'd only ever been to, you know, Florida beaches, but it...
So all your time as a doctoral student here, you never made it to the beach?
No, not with that time frame that we had.
One thing, obviously, that animates your life is this passion for young people, this passion for dealing with psychological disorders, mm-hmm. Suicidal thoughts, all that. Tell us, at the risk of getting personal, but how you have related to that over the years and how it really energizes you for the future.
Absolutely. So what originally got me, I guess, into this field, this area, and what inspired me to have this be my social impact initiative is I battled chronic pain for a really long time. And a lot of people who do that and have that will develop, you know, different mental disorders. So I did fall into a sort of depression because you just kind of have that, oh my gosh, I'm in pain all the time. Like, what's going to happen?
But if I may just interrupt, did the chronic pain come from some injury or just natural?
It was kind of a little bit of both. We're not entirely sure. I had my gallbladder taken out about a year ago to remedy that, which a lot of people are surprised by, being that I'm 23 and of average size. But so we did that, and that has helped out a lot with that. But luckily, I was involved in the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention back whenever I was at Butler University, and I've been able to join in with the Delaware chapter now. And a lot of the things they do is provide resources both to people who are struggling and people who are on the other side. And so I was one of the lucky ones who knew the resources that were out there, and I had the support system I needed.
But the pain really had you thinking about...
Yeah. And so it was hard, and it was not easy to get through, but I had the support system and the resources I needed. And there are a lot of people out there that first and foremost don't know they exist, or they don't want to speak out, and they don't want to think that they need help, or think that they're, you know, weak is the word you hear a lot. And so my job and what I really want to do is just try and promote as best I can open and honest conversation about these issues, because almost every single person in their life has had some sort of situation they've been through where they feel one way or another that could fall into these categories.
And someone else in your family?
Yeah, one of my closest family friends growing up, his father, he lost his father to suicide. And so I saw how that affected their family. And that was one of the other reasons why I got involved with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, is a lot of what they do is provide support for family members and friends who are surviving, because so often we forget about those family members who are still here.
Sure.
And are going through that pain.
At the risk of asking a very controversial question, but you are the exact age to ask you, mm-hmm. Do you think social media fuel more suicidal thoughts on the part of young people, more depression, anxiety, all the rest?
I think social media plays a role in a lot of things, and it's all how you look at it. Because I think now social media, as it has been in the past, I think played a very large role. But I think we're moving in a positive direction where a lot of people, a lot of influencers are being more transparent. They're being more open. They're promoting body positivity, using less Photoshop, and trying to break down these expectations that have previously led people to feel bad about themselves.
Are you big with social media yourself?
I do use social media quite a bit, especially for these platforms. I had an Instagram for my Miss Hokesson title, which is now a Miss Delaware title. So we're very active on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, mostly to promote different events and things like that. But I want to use it in the best way I can to do exactly what I just said. Be transparent, be open about the things I'm dealing with, you know, work with other people with what they're dealing with.
And maybe the most personal question, have you ever had to deal with bullying?
I think everyone in their life has had to deal with bullying in one way or another. I know towards the end of my high school career, things got a little bit more difficult, probably because I was bouncing back and forth between so many different events and so many different friend groups that I was not necessarily one of the like staple people in the group. So I was more of
a floater. Couldn't be part of one clique because you were all over the map.
Yeah, which I mean is a good thing, because it made me a very well-rounded person, being involved in theater and dance and all these other things. But you know, as a 17-year-old, you just want a really close group of friends.
Do you think you would have gotten involved in the Miss Delaware, now Miss America competition, had there not been radical changes in the psychology approach and presentation?
I still loved everything that the Miss America organization stood for, although I will say that Miss America 2.0, I very much prefer. I think I still would have performed and participated in the 1.0 system, but I feel...
You would have done swimsuit if you had to?
Yeah.
Because, it would have been your favorite thing.
I love what it stands for, health and fitness, confidence, all of these things. But there are so many women out there who may or may not be as confident to do that sort of thing. So what 2.0 does is it's not only inclusive in the sense that we're saying all women can do this, all women can be strong. Miss America is a face for every single woman that wants to be like her. but it's also inclusive in a sense that we're all in this together. It's every local title holder, state title holder, every volunteer hour, every dollar that we raise is all we are Miss America.
But you like the changes.
I love the changes.
Yeah. Well, of course, in your position, you're going to be non-political and all that. And apolitical, I understand that. But just a sense of your generation, whether you sense being energized by the presidential race or enough already.
I think there's a little bit of both. So there's always the kind of sense of, okay, another thing's coming out, another thing is happening. But I think it's really important, especially for people my age, because it's been historically people my age who don't really turn out to the polls as much as, you know, people from older generations. So I think getting involved and being aware of all the things that are going on is incredibly important. So if it takes whatever it is, 28 Democratic candidates to be on the ballot to get our attention and make us listen and actually do our research.
Well, trust me, probably some of them are not going to be on the ballot by the time you see the ballot, but I hear you. Is there a sense of futility among your generation, among people, your friends, that no matter what happens politically, nothing's going to change?
I really hope not, because I think that one thing that my generation does really well is we are loud. If there's an issue that we are passionate about, we are not going to stand back. There are a lot of people my age and even younger that are speaking out, especially about environmental issues, I think, that are standing up. And I love that about us, is we're not going to be quiet anymore. And so I think that even if we may feel that way, we're not going to let it stop us. And we're going to keep going out to rallies or whatever it is that you choose to do as an advocate. And we're going to make change happen no matter what.
Okay, back to your personal goals. You get your doctorate in how long?
I just finished my first year. So the program is usually between 4 and 5 years. So we've got a little
bit. What will the degree officially be called?
I'll be Dr. May with my PhD in Education and Learning Sciences.
And with that, you want to do what? What's your dream?
There are a lot of different things I could do and a lot of different things that I think are very interesting. But if I could pick a dream job, it would be to work in a development department for a network like PBS. I love a public broadcast network because a lot of what I do right now, research-wise, is focused on low-income communities. And so public broadcast networks are what are going to reach them
so
the
most. It seems as though a disproportionate number of people coming through pageants say, I want to be a TV anchor. That's not quite what you're...
No, I would, as much as I love performing and I love to be on stage, I think in terms of this area, I would be a lot better in the creation of the shows as opposed to being like the voice of a character.
Do you envision yourself, though, still doing stuff on stage?
I would love to.
Have your cake and eat it, too?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I love about the pageant. And it's one of the things that made me want to do it, is I had that opportunity to be on stage again. I hadn't been on stage in so long, and I didn't realize how much I missed it until I was standing in the wings again and had that feeling.
By the way, how old were you when you were first on stage, and how did it happen?
When I was first on stage ever, I think I was probably 3 years old, and it would have been my dance recital. I remember I was in a number for the Aristocats, and I had a cheetah tail that was pinned to the back of my costume. It was a great time. There's plenty of pictures to commemorate.
So your parents encourage you?
Yeah. My mom is a big performer. She always has been, and I think always will be. She's a local celebrity, if I may say,
in Evansville doing
different commercials for
brothers,
for
sisters.
I have a younger brother and a younger sister. My sister is 2 years younger than me. My brother is about to be a senior in high school, which is very weird for me because he was always my really little brother.
Yeah, little brother. Mm-hmm. You guys get along?
Yeah, my sister and I have a lot of the same interests. She did singing and dancing just like I did. My brother is a incredible guitarist. He started about 2 years ago and is way better than anyone I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, that's saying
so,
something.
So I definitely
were they able to
come
here for
family.
The weekend?
My sister unfortunately had to work, but my brother did make the trip out here. Although I do think it's possible that my parents might have bribed him because they flew back into Nashville and got to see one of his favorite guitarists in concert.
So when you go back to Indiana, do you drive or fly?
I usually drive. I have a dog that I take with me who's just too big to fly with me, but she rides in the car.
You do it all in one day?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, when you're from the Midwest, anything shorter than a 14-hour drive is a piece of cake.
Doesn't amaze you when some Delawareans, like if somebody commutes from Dover to Wilmington, oh, what a long trip.
Yep. But hey, that's one of the things that I think is going to be good for me as Miss Delaware, because it's 2.5 hours up and down the state, and that's nothing for me, right?
Yeah. Well, congrats, Ms. Delaware, Ms. Hokesson.